Angolan-born Portuguese woman thought to be his wife.
BBC correspondent Danny Everhart reporting. Prince William and his wife, the Duchess of Cambridge, will soon welcome a third child to the royal nursery. As with her two other pregnancies, she's suffering from morning sickness. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started. When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my sidekick, Sean.
Hello.
And we are here with our guest, Solar Steve.
Hello, everyone.
And, back by popular demand.
Back by popular demand. And, you know, our topic tonight is to discuss the potential outcomes of current events and what exactly we can do about them. You know, I feel that...
When you say potential outcomes of current events, I feel like that's burying the lead a little bit, because Solar Steve was on here last time talking about doomsday prepping.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, you know,
yeah, current events being what they are.
Now we get
they
the right side.
Yeah, well, I'm
good news.
Well, I don't know. You know, so many people, there's just so many theorists out there coming up with things, and so many of them tie into so many things that are going on in the news from our president, regardless of which side you're on, to the
Houston,
you know, to
hurricane, of course.
The government structure, regardless of which side you're on, to the weather, to our interactions with other countries, to technology. I mean, all of them are basically presenting to us a lot of potential fall situations. You know,
that's true.
It's basically one big science fiction movie in the making.
Yeah.
So... You know, I don't know what we should probably just start out and you know, throw out there what some of these are. You know, maybe we just pick one and go for it to kind of talk about it. And I'm sure in the end they all pull together into one big potential catastrophe, because, you know, a lot of the time when big issues happen, they are the result of many small things put
sure.
together, you know, that add up to just one. Well, nobody says, oh, that's the anvil that broke the camel's back, you know.
Yeah.
It's the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's only the historians that do that.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Though you can break a camel's back with an anvil. It's,
right.
It's not much fun, I've tried.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, yeah, I think the big one that's on all of our minds, North Korea.
North Korea is easily the big one, you know. That, and I'm a little back and forth on North Korea. When it comes to North Korea, I flip-flop between thinking that they're a threat and they're not really a threat.
Yeah. Well, to me, it comes down to, like, if all the actors involved are rational, we'll never go to war, right? Because that's not in anyone's...
The cooler heads prevail thought line.
Exactly. If the actors involved are not rational, looking at you, Kim Jong-un, and Trump, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, they...
We might.
They both, you know... Trump definitely came in with this attitude of,
Right.
We're not going to take it anymore.
I think Trump is more likely to be rational than Kim Jong-un.
Oh, I think so, too. You know, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a big Trump fan, but I also don't think his end-all goal is to destroy our country or this world.
No, actually, the propaganda would have us believe that's exactly what he wants to do. That, I mean, you look at some of these films and propaganda videos that come out of North Korea, or the news media is covering, pick these things up. And they're constantly saying that they're going to rain nuclear fire on the imperialist, you know, United States, you know.
Right.
And I mean, they're constantly coming at us with this rhetoric. So then you add on top of that the idea that, okay, it's not enough necessarily to have nuclear weapons, okay? I mean, when the only last time nuclear weapons were used in anger was in 1945, we all know that story that... you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were vaporized. Did that require an ICBM? No. Did it require reentry capabilities that a warhead would need to be, you know, slung up into space and coast over and fall back down? No, it didn't. So the idea that you have to have these technologies and micronization of the warhead is also not necessary. Why don't you just put one of these crude atomic weapons on a container ship and blow up the port of Long Beach? I mean, you know, there's just a variety of situations that you could do. And not to mention, North Korea has gotten a lot of modern diesel-electric submarine technology from China, who got it from the Clintons in the 90s. Oops, did I say that? I mean, these things are even quieter than our nuclear submarines.
Yeah, well, regardless of what side of the aisle you're sitting on with our government has armed a large part.
There's not a doubt.
A lot of shady countries. Parts of
there
the
is
world.
Not a doubt. Now, yeah. now you can get as no, mad not. At me as
no,
you
both
want,
sides
folks.
Have done it. Both sides did it.
But the United States is one of the largest arms distributors in the world.
That's right.
And there is no mistake about that. So, you know, certainly China and Russia are doing the same thing. And, you know, to say that, hey, honestly, folks, don't you think North Korea probably already has nuclear weapons? Don't you think that Iran already has nuclear weapons? I say they do. They're not going to tell you that.
Well, we know North Korea does, right? I mean,
well, they've been doing nuclear testing.
Yeah.
And we just had one. In fact, hydrogen bomb now. Okay, thermonuclear weapons are certainly nastier than your atomic variety, but you're still talking about nuclear weapons. You still have to get it over here.
I guess the question is, at what point does something become a weapon? We know they have nuclear capabilities. You know, they can...
Well, we know they're making...
They can explode,
you know,
a particle accelerator. But,
you know,
has it been weaponized yet?
Well, you know, and here's another thing to consider.
Arguably, it's a weapon already. You just
if
put it
you
in the
have,
right spot.
If you have a launch platform that is capable of the mass of the object, okay, so does it have to be ready for reentry? No, because if you're going to detonate the thing at 300 miles AGL, it doesn't have to reenter the atmosphere, does it? And that's your optimal EMP. And thermonuclear weapons produce a very notable EMP wave.
Yeah, EMP, frankly, is, you know, this is, we're coming up on break, but I'll start this anyway. One nuclear weapon, how much of an EMP is, I mean, does one nuclear weapon in the upper atmosphere take out a quarter of the country?
Detonated at 300 miles over, say, Omaha, Nebraska, it will reach the coast to coast.
Well,
yes.
It's that.
Yes.
Why don't we hear about this? Why isn't that the thing in the news? Not, well, oh, they might nuke.
Well, it is. It is out there. I mean, the information has always been out there. Do they distract you from these things? Absolutely. Is there something else going on that, you know, that watch the shiny object over here type thing? Absolutely. Okay. They don't want you to think about this stuff until they want you to think about this. And then when they want you to think about it, there's a reason for it.
Well, right. Clearly they want us thinking about nuclear blasts, but not EMP for some reason.
Right.
So that's weird.
Well, we're coming up on break here, but my guess to your question, Sean, is because they don't want everybody to start wanting to spend the money on it when they're not ready.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about current events, the possible outcomes, and what, if anything, you can do about it. Come on back.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Your answer, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
Summer is here and you need your car running right. At NAPA, they carry everything a shade tree mechanic could want, from tools to timing belts. Change your own oil? NAPA has the filters, oil, and tools to make your job easier. Call any of their 7 stores to order parts or ask any questions you have. You can also order online at readingnapa.com. NAPA know-how, 2304 Churn Creek Road. Call them at 222-5565.
All right, now, a friend of mine named Jay is going to be landing jets on aircraft carriers in the Navy there, and he's going to have a nuclear bomb between his legs, and he's going to paint my face on that nuclear bomb, and on the side it's going to say, Mojo says hi. So I wrote this song about it called, Going to Put My Face on a Nuclear Bomb. It goes like this. Well, going to put my face on a nuclear bomb.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And that's pretty fitting to our discussion, you know. Let's finish up with North Korea. Like I was saying, I'm a little back and forth, like, if they're a threat, because I really feel like even if they get a nuclear weapon that they can deliver and all that, I feel like odds are in our favor of stopping it. I think the real issue lies in the world war potential.
Yeah, well, that's always the risk, you know, you especially if nuclear weapons are used at any point in the process. The risk of it going downhill is exponentially increased. You know, you have to figure that at the onset of hostilities, I mean, let's say they do start launching missiles, and let's say they really would have blown up Guam. Let's say that really happened. Or let's say they shot some missiles out there. How do you know that they're going to drop a mile or two off into the water and they're not actually going to hit anything? And how do you know that there's no warhead in it? Right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to react as if this is the real deal, right?
Oh, yeah. So, totally. If somebody, you know, throws a punch, you got to you gotta block it.
You got to block it. So, you know, just that act alone, okay, fine. You intercept the missiles. Threat's been neutralized. Do you counterattack or not? Well, I would think that if, you know, in that kind of a scenario, the counterattack is probably likely of some kind. Whether it's a surgical strike on their launch facilities, on their offensive intercontinental capabilities, their sub pens, things like that, that it, whatever they would have that can project power is what you would want to go off of, and certainly any of your, their command and control assets. But of course, then, as the attack, the counterattack begins, 10,000 artillery pieces on the DMZ begin to shell Seoul.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
That's the big,
and now you're talking about hundreds of thousands of casualties, and there is no arguing about that.
Right.
There is,
right.
And in fact, when I was in the National Guard back in the 90s, our division was supposed to ultimately support forces in Korea should the North and South go at it again, right? And it was understood back then, and nothing has changed, but there is nothing to stop the North from steamrolling through Seoul within probably 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah, I totally agree. So with our potential outcomes, you said, you know, surgical strike. And so this is one of the questions that has always come to my mind about this. Would, and I realize that we can't get a straight answer out of this, out of anybody, I don't care how educated of a pundit one is, would the North Koreans be happy if we killed him?
If we are to believe the level of mind control and ideological indoctrination that we think they have, perhaps yes, that they're that zealot about it, that they really do worship this person in the lineage as godlike leaders.
It's just so foreign to me. I can't. I mean, the closest thing that I can make a comparison to is 1984.
Yeah.
You know, where doublethink and all this stuff was really going on. But still, that's fantasy to me. I mean, it's so foreign to me. You know, it's like,
okay, compare it to, you know, any kind of Stone Age country.
But they're not Stone Age. They aren't. I mean, yes, you have a population that is not westernized, certainly by no means, although they have been exposed to some things.
Right.
They have TV, right? They get movies. You know, the state does control everything that comes into the country, but
sure,
they can't always control everything that gets out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Chauncey, as an IT person, would understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. Yeah. And so, really, at the end of the day, it comes down to what is it we really believe about the North Korean people? You know, should we just assume that really there's no difference between the North Koreans and the South Koreans? After all, they are the same, really the same. There's very little difference between them other than ideological background
Yeah, that's one thing that's really interesting in I don't know what, 60, 70 years, how drastically different one culture can split into two different.
Yeah, I mean, cultures. Let's look at Islam. Let's look at what's happened with Islam and Wahhabism over the last, say, 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you could maybe even argue 200 years, because it was the beginnings of this country that they had to deal with the Barbary Coast. That was our first, you know, dealings with radical Islam at that point. But, you know, but you have a vast sum of Islamics that are more moderate that would tell you that. Now, we're not supposed to believe that because they're supposed to be able to lie to you in order to get you to, you know, convert or whatever. But, okay, fine.
That's
whatever.
Part of the problem. You know, most Muslims...
I think most people want to live their life in peace, raise their families, do what they got to do,
yes.
and you know, and that's it. That really
right.
is it.
But these terrorist Muslims, I don't know what are we calling them? That Obama couldn't say radical Islamic. Apparently,
ISIS. That's the phrase.
But to me, that's so science fiction. Also, just the idea that we have generations of people who off of their religious upbringing think that
infidel must die.
Yeah. I'm a huge horror fan. We always talk about it. There's this movie Lord of Illusions where this guy Nix basically says that he was born to murder the world, and every time I think about these people I think of that line and I think, how over the top is this?
I mean, I think if you look at history and you find any example of a time when there's a group of young men who don't have a lot of opportunities,
yes,
they start killing people.
And that
you
is
know,
the
that's,
class.
That's just what happens.
That's the class that the military tends to prey on the most.
Right.
It just happens to be that way, folks.
Right.
Now,
And, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities in Afghanistan.
No.
Right now.
Well, actually, there are if you don't mind growing poppies.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
You know, hey, you got some good U.S. Marines to protect you.
That's true. And your poppy growing. So we're dealing with these. If these countries were to team up or somehow instigate us, you know, I kind of felt like, now don't get me wrong, this is purely hypothetical, nobody hate on me for my violent tendencies. I felt like when China said that if we attacked North Korea, that they were going to defend them, but if North Korea attacked us, then it's a free-for-all, that we should have instigated somehow North Korea to attack us so that we could have just taken
care of. You would have thought that was prime for a false flag.
Yeah,
it seemed like, okay, well, let's China, poke them with a stick a little longer.
China could have easily false flagged that thing and said, hey, look, hey, North Korea, see, the West is attacking you now. Now we're going to get the imperialist.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, if they want nuclear war.
If they want something like that. But, you know, a lot of people forget about the economic warfare that goes on, and that has been ongoing for years now.
Oh, it's the new Cold War.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the idea of the Chinese yuan and their attempt at gold-backed currency to trump, not no pun intended, but to bypass the sheer earning power of the petrodollar, which you gotta look at it. That was a brilliant thing that happened, however evil it may have been.
Yeah, well, it's their nationalist attitude towards their money and our globalist attitude towards our money that's really helping them, because we have corporations that are buying back their own stocks in order to just raise the value of their own stocks that that the heads of the corporations have, instead of putting the money back into our own economy.
Sure. The dilemma is you want to have economic production. You want to have money. You want to generate wealth, but do you necessarily want the middle class and the working class to have access to this? Maybe not, because they're easier controlled when they're broke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Or if not dependent on your social welfare programs.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So that way, the society tends to do what you want them to do because they want to continue to eat. Okay. So what do you do? Well, then you send all the production, all the jobs overseas to China, right, who has been promised, you're the next up-and-coming power economically in the world.
Right.
You know, it's your turn. And so in the meantime, you weaken the United States. The middle class is about gone now. Mm-hmm. You know, and folks are just living paycheck to paycheck and completely distracted on top of it.
Oh, yeah, I love it. A couple years ago, my wife and I found out we're middle class. You know, we hadn't made any more money. They just changed what middle class are.
They changed the benchmark, and they're famous for doing that. I mean, they really are.
And Terry's all, oh, we're middle class now. Well, apparently we are.
You know, and so what better way? And, of course, you know, these plans go over decades and decades of time. But if the plan was that the United States was supposed to rise to a certain point, beat the crap out of the rest of the world for a time, you know, all the modern technology flows through their science and their massive industrial output. But then at some point, through social pressures and economic pressures and other things to come, that now it's weakened to such an extent that is just a glimpse of what it used to be, or what it used to be able to do, how they used to act, what they would say, what they stood for.
Right.
And I think many of you out there would agree that, in fact, that very thing is happening and has happened.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on our commercial break, but I'll throw in my little editorial about what I was wishing would happen. So at the end of Obama, I was really wishing that both the left and the right would, because they seemed on the cusp of realizing that their mutual enemy was that we were being controlled by corporations and banksters and stuff. And then we just got sidetracked by politics yet again. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We'll talk about some...
But that's never happened.
...national disasters.
Carl, let's find a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Okay, what are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
All right, let's go.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX 9000.
The DRX 9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX 9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX 9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX 9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
On Saturday, September 9th, bring your family to the fair, the annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair.
Hi, my name is Chad David here at Orchard Nutrition Center. We've been holding our annual health fair for several years now. Our goal is to show the community what's out there for organic, GMO-free, natural. Show what vendors are actually local to Shasta County, Trinity County.
You'll have an opportunity to sample some of the Orchard Nutrition Center products and talk directly to vendors. Enjoy great food from the barbecue, including chicken and sausage from Smart Chicken, beef from Hat Creek Grown, and the always delicious Orchard Pizza. Entertainment from blues guitar singer Jimmy Limo, and plenty of fun for the kids, including a reptile party, raffles, and much more. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 9th, at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. For more information, visit them on Facebook or online at orchardnutrition.com. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with Solar Steve about current events. You know, here we're really going to kind of dig into natural disasters. You know, we're sitting on all sorts of them. Our show is broadcast out of California, which is very much on fire at the moment. Outside for us, looks like...
In the sense of being engulfed in a literal conflagration, not in the sense of being, you know, the hip, trendy thing these days.
Totally, yeah.
Though both are true.
Both are true.
Quite.
You know, yeah, totally. Who doesn't like, California cuisine, you know? You have to admit that bacon and avocado makes everything better.
That is true.
Even the apocalypse, which is what it looks like outside, thanks to all the fires. It's like...
At least the sun hasn't turned bright, right?
I wonder what the smoke's doing.
It was the other day.
I remember all the smoke's doing for the national cash crop.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It might
or
be
the, no, the state cash crops, excuse me.
Right. Yeah. Well, it might be a...
Might be good extra flavor.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, barbecue-style tomatoes.
Yeah.
So, you know, this comes down to another touchy topic that of global warming and whether or not we're doing it. My personal opinion is we're undoubtedly adding to it. I don't know if it's a natural cycle, but we know that when we put carbons into the environment, we can weigh the carbons that we pull out of the environment and we can tell how they were caused, if they were naturally caused by a volcano or by a cow's butt, or if they were caused by fossil fuels burning. And we can tell that we are putting some of these particulates into our environment at a massive level. But as to if we are causing it, I don't know. I just don't know. But either way, the outcome, we're seeing it. You know, we're dealing with it. Although there was a new study, I don't know, did any of you guys follow this up? That a lot of our weather problems might be caused, might be man-made, but yes, not have to do with global warming.
Exactly. It's weather manipulation, weather warfare.
Well, even outside of weather warfare, they were talking about just our development and the way that we're developing is causing...
Altering, say, wind patterns and things like that.
Right.
And shifting climates.
Right.
Yeah, no, there has got to be something to that.
But there definitely has to be something to weather warfare. It's not like anybody would be...
No, it's
we're just not going to look into that.
It's being done by too many people now, and the circumstances and the studies that have been done on some of these weather systems, it's pretty much, you know, a given now that we can steer storms, we can intensify storms, we can decrease or remove energy from storms. So somebody might think, hey, well, doesn't that mean that if a hurricane is coming towards the United States and it looks particularly nasty, that we could, like, shoot some energy at it in a certain way and dissipate the storm? Or steer it away from us.
Right. Relocate the energy. You can't get rid of it.
Relocate it. Right. Yeah, exactly. But if that's true, why isn't that being done more?
Because if it relocates to another country, they're going to be pissed.
Well, that's true. And you can't keep
send it back out into the ocean.
And
we can just send it back down to the Caribbean. They all seem to hit the Caribbean.
Well, yes, and it's a nice funnel, isn't it? So, you know, you've got this bathtub of really warm, warm water.
Right.
And then you start adding energy to the opposite side of the circulation of the system. And it's kind of like what happens when you take the hose and you hit the wheel with it, and you hit it sideways, and it gets faster and faster and faster. Well, that's what it does to a storm.
Sure.
You know, and so that's how some of these... Katrina was thought to be a gend storm, if you will. It wasn't that they created it. They took something that already was forming and just magnified it. And then applied steering at the last minute. If you remember, Katrina took that sharp turn to the north, right on into New Orleans. Well, call me crazy, but they seem to be picking on the oil production of the United States quite a bit. Now, who they are remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, if they are us or if they're somebody else, I mean...
Well, the Russians could do it. The Chinese could do it. First or, you know, 2.1, 1.0, you know, nation state could do things like this.
Right. You know, part of me says absolutely not to that. And here's why. Because while these other countries are catching up to us, they haven't. Technologically, I feel that we would catch it. The one thing that really freaked me out and made me think that what you're saying might actually be the case was that sonic attack in Cuba. There's a sonic device that makes people sick. You know, that is absolutely crazy.
ELF
and we don't
waves.
Know what it was. You know?
Those are ELF waves, and it's a very low, extremely low frequency sound wave.
Right.
And it's quite nasty.
Yeah, that's absolutely... I guess we're getting off topic here. So, natural disasters are happening at an increasing level, and we have some truly apocalyptic opportunities for natural disasters here in the United States. One of the big ones that's in the news is Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yellowstone is basically one giant caldera of a supervolcano. I know those sound, to our listeners, those words probably sound kind of silly, but it's true. It's 100% true. Yellowstone is a giant, massive volcano.
Super caldera.
Right. Sure. And the elevation of Yellowstone has actually been going up slightly because of the pressure being built under Yellowstone. Yellowstone has erupted before, and it was one of North America's
one of the most violent acts naturally.
Yeah, what's the term in
mass extinctions?
Mass extinction.
Extinction level event.
Yeah, mass extinction events. We've had a lot of them, and several of them throughout the history of life on Earth have actually been super volcanoes.
Sure.
So this has actually gotten to the point where NASA in the news basically said that they have proposed a plan to actually drill into Yellowstone and harness the energy coming out of it while decreasing the likelihood of the eruption.
It's like bleeding off energy, right?
Yeah. Right.
Now, see, what I...
And this was actually in the real news.
I've heard varying things about this. I feel like the most recent thing I've heard about Yellowstone is it could go off tomorrow or it could go off in 300,000 years.
Well, that's about the extent that we have of most volcanoes.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, that feels like, okay, not too much to worry about there, then.
Well, a lot of people will take earthquakes.
Or a lot to worry about immediately.
You know, there's such a thing as earthquake swarming.
If we were to get so unlucky, yeah.
Earthquake swarming?
Yeah, and if you do have these things going on, a lot of times geologists will see that as an indicator that there's activity. Well, certainly there is activity, depending on the depth and the frequency and the magnitude and all these things. And, yes, this has been happening in Yellowstone for years, if not decades now. I mean, Old Faithful has been this geyser that every hour shoots its load of water.
Right.
You know? I mean, so that we know that there is energy pent up underneath the ground there. Now, other people that live up there say, you know what, there's really nothing to worry about. I keep a real close eye on it. I'm, like, right on its back door. You know, if I was to see things, I would know what I'm looking at if I saw something. And he says, no, Yellowstone's not going to go off anytime soon. But, you know, combine that with the Cascadia subduction zone and the New Madrid fault line.
Oh, now that's a big problem.
that is a yeah. big scary one. Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, it's so scary that FEMA, starting a few years ago, began an exercise called Cascadia Rising. And it's a multi-state, multi-jurisdictional exercise that goes on for an entire week where they simulate a 9.0 50 miles off the coast of Oregon. And, I mean, the projections are literally hundreds of thousands dead, millions displaced. Everything from I-5 west from the top of the border with Canada all the way down to somewhere around in here is wasted. Mm-hmm. I mean, inhabitable, wasted.
It's weird that San Andreas got all the hype. So here's how it was explained to me, that by the length of the fault and how the fault's connected, there is a limit as to the amount of even a worst-case scenario drop or shift. There's still a limit to the amount of energy that can happen due to the length of the fault.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that San Andreas has always been the one that everybody's all, ooh, it's happening. You know, but that this Cascadia subduction zone is like literally 3-4 times
it's
more
massive.
Potential yeah. power in the drop.
And Seattle's right there.
Yeah, so, Seattle's
you know, one of a very, very large city, which is a huge economic zone. And,
right.
And, you know,
yeah, but it literally, right you know, if you think you're going to be able to get out of the area when something like that happens, you're wrong. The bridges will be gone. The roads will be washed over, buckled, not to mention dangerous from people that are trying to survive. The fires that would start.
Right.
You know, it's an earthquake can produce absolutely horrific conditions.
All right, well, we're coming up on break here at Radio Wasteland. Come on back with Solar Steve.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Your future career awaits at Shasta College, and now it's all about more. More classes so you can graduate faster, more flexibility to work around your busy life schedule, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. You told us what you needed, and we listened, giving you new self-paced math classes, transfer classes for the university-bound student, and more online offerings to help you achieve your academic goals. Fall enrollment is going on right now for both new and returning students, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Simply call 242-7650, and one of our skilled admissions officers will help register you and direct you to the next step to achieving your goal. And that's it. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. Call 242-7650 to register for fall classes. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help bring it all together. Find your more at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Suicide has no respect for age, gender, or social status, but there are things we can do to help understand and support those whose lives have been touched by suicide. Please join us on Saturday, September 9th at Caldwell Park for the Reading Out of the Darkness Walk.
Hi, I'm Rhonda, and I'm walking for my daughter, Melissa.
I'm Bobette, and I'm walking for my mom, Diane.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I'm walking for my son, Josh.
Leave the darkness behind. Go to afsp.org/reading to register, create a team, or donate.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You're here with our guest, Solar Steve. We're talking about, current events, all the apocalyptic possibilities in the current events. And now we're getting to everyone's favorite, the one that seems to be, I can use the word porn on the radio, can't I? Because everybody uses these terms.
I think you already have.
Well, everybody uses these terms like, oh, food porn, because I like to look up milkshakes.
Sure.
You know, this is everybody's fear porn, is that they are watching...
Yeah.
The news, and they are watching the dichotomy between the right and the left and the potential unrest that is coming from that. I mean, look at Charlottesville. I mean, that was massive.
If not open civil war.
Yeah. And so when do we come up to a point where people are just straight up fighting in the streets?
I feel like, I don't know, there is a huge moderate faction in this country that doesn't vote, and people forget about them. But... You know, in terms of people who are actually hard right and who are actually hard left, the numbers are not that huge, and a lot of them are old, because, you know, the people who vote just skews much older. To get a civil war, to get, like, an insurrection, you need two huge...
Unfortunately,
of
a lot of them
people.
Are young, too, it seems.
It seems that way, but those are just more vocal and active. They're really, you know, there are not as many... On the left, sure, but on the right, there are not as many young people, I feel like. Certainly not enough to result in a civil war.
And I agree with you that that the majority of people in this country do not land on one side or the other.
Right.
Therefore, their voices aren't really heard.
You know, history shows people revolt when they're starving or when, you know, their very way of life is threatened to a massive extent.
So let me ask you this. How close are we to people being starved and their way of life?
Closer
because,
than you think.
Right.
Okay.
So this is.
I would tend to. I don't know. I want to hear what you get.
Well, this is the deal. Like, we are at a point. You know, if something were to happen in, let's say, the 50s, mm-hmm. we might not have the explosive possibilities that we have now due to the dichotomy. So
we
have blame just going back and forth. We have...
It's a lot harder for someone to starve in this country now than it was in the 50s.
Well, what happens if that EMP goes off?
Well, that's a... That's completely different, I feel.
What if there's an economic collapse?
Right, there would have... That's fair. If there was an instigator like that, yeah. I don't think, though, you know, something would come up in the news.
What
like,
if Antifa decides to intercept all over-the-road trucking between certain zones?
I guess if they were to do that, then, yeah, that could be something. But it wouldn't come from news, you know.
Or how about in Houston and parts of Texas right now, are experiencing very significant gas shortages, if not gas is unavailable because of the hurricane and the resulting flood.
Right, and this really comes back to how we started the show, where I was talking about the straw breaking the camel's back. All these things are adding up. So the new one that I think is a little bit scary is our president, although the rest of our government seems to say this is not the case, but our president is basically saying that we need to stop doing business with any country that does business with North Korea.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
No. Because that would mean China.
Yeah. We ourselves as a population wouldn't like that because we're so used to paying these cheap Walmart prices for everything.
Yeah.
You stop dealing with China and guess what's going to happen, folks?
Prices probably the best thing that's ever happened in that country,
yeah.
In this country, and that would be that Walmart went out of business.
Right, right. Well, the idea that we don't make anything ourselves anymore, and so you do that. You go down that road, and not only are things going to be 3-5 times more expensive, but you might not even be able to acquire it at any price.
Yeah.
So the one thing that makes me kind of feel like we would have a social collapse more so than a civil war is logistics. People are really mixed up in this country. There is no, like, during the Civil War, it was obviously a North and South issue.
Right. Sure.
And now you have pockets of conservative, you know, here we're broadcasting out of Redding, California. California, everybody goes, oh, they're liberal, and they surf. Well, we don't surf here, and our town is not liberal.
No, it's not.
You know, we are a pocket of conservatism in
it's
arguably the most...
Rural.
Northern California generally is pretty conservative.
Right.
Well, in terms of California's land mass, most of it is rural area that's conservative. Most of the population
correct.
Is in cities, which is liberal.
Right. And, you know, so...
And that's the divide.
So even, you know, I hear, you know, and don't come down on me, I don't really know this stuff, but I hear Texas is mainly conservative, but I hear that Austin is ragingly liberal.
Yes. Right. That has started to happen. I don't know. Texas being the leading bastion of conservatism started to slip a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't take long before some of these divisions begin to really spiral out of control. I mean, look at the protesting that's going on in this country now. I mean, if you were to compare that to the 1960s, let's say, I think it's far worse now.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily bad then. I have a
civil
friend.
Civil rights movement?
Yeah,
there was a lot
of riots.
Well, there was a lot of violence going on. I think
you know,
at the point,
the
and a lot
state
of
issue
war in the streets,
the anti-war demonstrations, all that kind of stuff.
So my buddy John moved back from China. He lived there for 4 years teaching English, and he and I are big music fans, and so this discussion kind of comes from a music standpoint, but we can apply it to a social one because he said something that was really interesting. I'm all. You know, he and I, we like rock and roll and punk rock bands, and I'm just all, so what was the punk scene like in China? He's all, oh, no, there was no punk scene in China, because they never had the Cultural Revolution that we had.
Right, that
He's
was
just
required
all,
to
they
get
had,
there.
They have all the technological advancements that we had, but they never had the Cultural Revolution that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they had a Cultural Revolution, but it was run by Mao and a whole bunch of people
died,
and it mostly involved
just because they called
posters.
It that.
No punk music.
Man. Right, and so I don't know. You know, the dichotomy of this country is really kind of what terrifies me, and I hope that people are just getting sick of it.
I think it's worse than people think. I think news has become entertainment for people now, and it's, you know, people don't take it as seriously as you would think looking at message boards.
Bottom line, folks, I think if you are concerned about some of these things, and many of you are, I think you should just take a moment and breathe and think about it. Really ask yourself if this is real, what you're seeing. Do you know people that are, say, in Charlottesville that can verify things? If you believe that things are getting to a breaking point, I personally believe that they are getting close to that. They could be. You should start to take some steps to ensure that you can deal with a level of crisis. You know, it goes back to the prepping thing. So the first thing you're going to want to isolate or identify is, where in this mix are you? Ethnically, racially, politically, okay? It's not necessarily race that's going to be the problem for you, and it's not necessarily your ethnicity, but maybe this time it's your political leanings, okay?
Which
are you outspoken?
Correlate.
Yeah, and are you an outspoken person, or do you tend to keep it to yourself like a gray man would, okay? In fact, learning how to be gray is going to be one of the best ways that you're going to deal with some of this stuff, because you are going to have to deal with populations. You're going to have to deal with people.
I would say learning how to be gray would also be the best way to get us out of this mess.
Absolutely. And so no one is saying that you can't speak out about what you think is right. We have a First Amendment. Hopefully we don't need our Second Amendment to guarantee that First Amendment. Okay, but there are those that are thinking along those lines, because if they're going to sling bottles and, you know, and feces bombs and stuff, you know, at us protesting, someone's bound to get hurt at some point. We will have to defend ourselves. At some point, there will be that moment when somebody decides they have to defend themselves. And then, I mean, where it goes from there, who knows?
Right.
Because the left is arming themselves, too.
Right, exactly. It's no longer just the right is armed and the left is mouthy. Now the right is armed and mouthy and the left is armed and mouthy, and it gets a little weird at that point.
And now also consider the notion that there's a factional divide between our very government. You're seeing it in the fight between the deep state and Trump right now. Okay, so, you know, you've got your white hat factions and you've got your black hat factions that are fighting amongst each other. And a lot of these things that you see going on in the news, like, you know, mysterious deaths, things like that, you know, I mean, this is the shadow wet work that goes on out there.
Absolutely. And we are, you know, a prime example is that we are totally being manipulated through these terminologies. You know, everybody says, if anybody says something is socialist, then all of a sudden everybody's just all, well, I don't believe in that, and blah, 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 and I'm totally opposed, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I see ya. And probably the largest socialist institution in our country is the military. So you can't, you know, people have demonized certain terms in order to create that dichotomy so that people aren't really thinking about what they do. We don't need private military. We need a government-funded military. That should be the government. That shouldn't be in private hands. You know, and people get weirded out about that stuff. And then people, you know, and on the flip side, we got the major problem of once you give a handout, it's not easy to take it back.
No. And it's resulted in the destruction of this country in a lot of ways. A lot of people have a hard time hearing that. But it is the truth, folks, out there. And we are to blame for it ourselves, because we fell for it. We lost our way somehow. You know, if you want things to change, there really is truth to the fact of what are you doing about it? What can you do about it? Well, sitting on the couch and worrying about it is certainly not helping. Okay? Start in your own house. Figure out what is it I can do to volunteer, to stockpile, to be aware. You know, everybody has a job. Everybody has a skill. And we all need each other.
I totally agree with that. All right, you're listening to Solar Steve on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys.
is lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Senior forecaster Richard Pasch at the National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Irma is already a Category 4 storm with winds of at least 130 miles an hour and expected to become a Category 5 storm as it nears the Leeward Islands.
Unfortunately, we do expect that it could strengthen some more over the next couple of days. It's likely to pass near or over some of the northern Leeward Islands by late Tuesday, and then continue off on a west-northwest track, moving just north of the Greater Antilles there over the next several days, and be approaching the Straits of Florida by